Welcome to this week's episode of Insight. During this week's show, we're going to cover three topics. The first one is the very controversial proposal to change the military draft laws in Armenia. The second one is going to be concerning an update on our POWs and some new approaches that we might want to take in bringing them back home. And the last one is the recent announcement by philanthropist Ruben Vartanian that he is moving to Artsakh. Let's start off with the first and the controversial issue over the past 2 weeks, which is the proposed changes in military service laws or the whatever covers the military draft. There's been a proposal from the government that is to slowly move towards a professional army, which is actually a good thing. This is something that is a trend around the world, and you're having conscript armies that are moving into professional armies. However, this is supposed to be accomplished by providing exemptions for anybody that can pay $60,000, you'll be exempt from military service. You essentially will only serve for 4.5 months. And then that monies that are collected are supposed to pay for a professional soldier to get a salary of around $1,000 a month for the next 5 years. Now, what are we to make of all this? Obviously, the transition to the professional army is actually very good and called for. But unfortunately, this idea of this $60,000 exemption is an idea from the pits of hell for many different reasons. One, and most important, that is entirely unjust, and it will only allow a very small number of the wealthiest to avoid national service. Secondly, it's also not particularly practical as far as the amount of money that's going to raise, because there's going to be so few people that can afford this. It's not really going to raise a substantial amount of money to actually pay for too many professional soldiers. The worst part about this is that at a time where we need social solidarity, where we need people coming together, everyone from all ranks working together, this as actually creating division and allowing people to buy themselves out of national service. As we all know, we need to build a garrison state, one that involves everyone from the richest to the poorest, from the farmer and the construction worker to the bank president and the IT specialist. And this is obviously not the approach to take. To me, what is most offensive about this is not the proposal itself. You know, governments come up with silly proposals all over the world. What offends me is of what poor spirit this is. Anybody who would think that this is a good idea is someone who really doesn't understand the moment that we're living in and the things that we need to do to change this country and move it in the right direction. Let's move on to the second topic of the week, which is in regards to our POWs. And I'm going to reference something in a communique that was put out in last week's meeting between President Charles Michel and the Armenian Prime Minister and the dictator from Baku. And I'm going to stick to this. I'm going to go back, actually, in a later show and talk at greater length about that summit. But in that communique, President Michel, for the first time, or in a very prominent way, made the case about the importance of releasing all the illegally held Armenian POWs in the dungeons of Baku. And now, this got me thinking about what is the best way to approach this subject, because obviously we're not getting anywhere in getting these people freed and back home where they need to be. And I think part of it is we have not personalized these individuals, whatever the exact number is somewhere between 30 to 100 people or maybe more, of civilians and POWs that are held in Baku. And I think we need to put faces and names and stories behind all of these people to personalize them. I would suggest, instead of talking about releasing all of the POWs, we should talk about them individually. For example, our embassy in one country can adopt one person, our embassy in another country can adopt another person. We tell their stories, we highlight them, we go to the leaders of those countries, and we ask them to make a phone call to Baku and, you know, can you free this individual, rather than to deal with it as a collective. And this can also be done by different Armenian diaspora organizations. An organization in Paris can adopt one, in Buenos Aires can adopt one. And in this way, we can personalize this thing and put real faces and stories behind all of these people to pressure the regime in Baku to free them. For example, imagine if we're our ambassador in the Vatican can convince the Pope to make a phone call to Aliyev to release one person. He can obviously say no, But he's going to look pretty awful doing this 30, 40 times with different world leaders or different prominent people around the world. The bottom line is we cannot leave this process and freeing these people and bringing them back home to their families to just the political process. We need to all engage in it to the extent that is possible. The last item of the week that we're going to be dealing with is the very prominent announcement by the philanthropist Ruben Vartanian that he is actually moving to Artsakh to create the Artsakh Security and Development Front. Mr. Vartanian made this announcement speech, and during the speech, he stressed the importance of Artsakh to the Armenian nation. They need for all of us to act so the people in Artsakh do not feel alone, that they have not been abandoned. The historical relationship and the importance of the Artsakh struggle to the Armenian nation as a whole. He urged the Aliyev regime not to pursue its policies of hatred and ethnic cleansing. He thanked Russia for her role in protecting the people of Artsakh from Aliyev's aggressions. And he thanked the United States and France for not allowing their diplomats recently to visit the occupied cities of Shushi and Hadrut. What can we say about this? The first thing is, personally, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's what I would say. You know, it's very easy to criticize and be cynical. Mr. Vartanian has been involved with many other people that he works with on different efforts around this country. You know, he's, you know, primarily responsible for what we see in Dilijan today, which is a revived city, the Tate Revival Project, the Aurora Project, and he has many other efforts. Some of them have worked successfully, some of them marginally, some of them have not. As anybody who tries a lot of things, that's what you're going to have. What I will say is this, I will take the occasional mistakes of people who live in a spirit of action and goodwill and solidarity over the cynically indifferent any time. Thank you for joining me in this week's episode of Insights. So